the university to welcome you to the dedication of the E.L. Bartlett Hall on this Alaska Day, October 18, 1969. The passing of Senator Bob Bartlett 11 months ago was mourned throughout Alaska. He was a lifelong Alaskan, a pioneer Alaskan, and his life spanned an era of Alaska history in which he himself played a major role. We at the university, faculty, students, and alumni, are indeed proud and happy that the Board of Regents has declared that this new building will be named in his honor. It is my pleasure to introduce Mr. William A. O'Neill, President of the Board of Regents. Mr. O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Marshall. As President of the Board of Regents, it is my high honor to be here today to recognize a distinguished Alaskan and a lifelong friend. It is also my honor to be able to introduce to you another distinguished Alaskan and an Alaskan State Senator, Mr. John Butrovich.
Thank you, Bill. Heidi, Doris Ann, distinguished guests, distinguished people. Dr. Wood was kind enough to invite me here to be a speaker today, and believe me, it is an honor to be here. He didn't tell me what I should say, but he did tell me to take as much time as I wanted, just as long as I didn't talk over 5 to 7 minutes. Now, I suppose I knew Bob Bartlett ever since the day a neighbor boy, Jimmy Vernetti, took me by the hand and delivered me to the first grade in Fairbanks, to Miss Florence Smith, who was the first grade teacher. In those days, Bob and his colleagues were the big kids, and my colleagues and I were the small kids. But we did manage to get acquainted, and we saw quite a bit of them until they put the run on us. Bob Bartlett attended the Fairbanks School, and of course, Bartlett is synonymous with the Herrings, the Dillies, the Smiths, the Russells, the Berglunds, and I could go on and on quoting names that to many of you would not mean too much. They, however, were the real old-timers in what I choose to call Bartlett Country, because interior Alaska and Fairbanks is certainly Bartlett Country. Bob Bartlett was a man who almost missed his calling. He was a miner, he was a newspaper man, and back in the days when Fairbanks was a small mining town and we only had two daily papers, the Citizen, which was run by J. Harmon Caskey, and the News Miner, which was run by W.F. Thompson, Fairbanks was the kind of a town that I think William Allen White would have liked to have written about, or Norman Rockwell would have liked to paint. It was that kind of a town, a town with a Midwest flavor way up north. And in those days when Bob Bartlett and the rest of us were growing up, we observed the seasons a lot more than we do today. It was a dog team and horse and buggy age. And as Bill Cashin has said, Bob Bartlett was one of the fortunate few who saw the dog team era and the jet era, and his life spanned that course of time. I think it is probably the most interesting span of time that we have known, because even though Edgar Rice Burroughs wrote about a trip to the moon, our parents ridiculed the idea. They thought that he was crazy. But Bob Bartlett lived to see that accomplished. So he did indeed live in a very interesting age. I, of course, being one of the little kids, didn't get to know Bob too well until I started to deliver papers for the News Miner. And Bob was on the staff there, and of course we had quite a crew. There was W.F. Thompson, the editor, and Leith Russell and Forbes Baker, and Alaska Egan, who was Bill Egan's brother. And Jimmy Maroney had the circulation, and it was a conglomerate crew from the editor on down. And almost every day was happy day at the paper. And sometimes the papers got out late, but we always got them out. It seems to me that Bob Bartlett really found himself when he went back to Washington to work with Tony Diamond. And the only reason I talk about the environment is because I think it has a lot to do with molding a man, and I think it played a great part in Bob Bartlett's immense success in his chosen field. There was no question when Tony Diamond retired but what Bob Bartlett would be his successor. And whether you happen to be a Democrat or a Republican or an Independent or what have you, that was the way it was going to be. And in my opinion, Bob Bartlett had the most difficult political job of any man in any time. A non-voting delegate to Congress. And I didn't realize just how tough a job it was until I was called back to Washington in 1954 by Delegate Bartlett when we started our push for statehood. I don't mean to say we hadn't started it a long time before, because we had. We had statehood bills introduced from the time of James Wickersham on out. But in 1954, I was invited to join a group called Operation Statehood in Anchorage to go back to Washington and pursue the course of statehood. And naturally, the first thing I did was send a telegram to Bob Bartlett, and I told him, I said, "Bob, I'm feeling rotten, and I just don't look forward to the ride back there. I don't want to come back just for the ride. Do you think I ought to come?" And the next morning, I got a phone call from Bob, and he said, "By all means, if you can do it, come." Well, things were tough even in 1954. A group of us chartered an airplane from Alaska Airlines, a DC-4, and we boarded it in Anchorage and flew to Seattle and gassed up, took 20 minutes in Seattle, and then we flew nonstop back to Washington, D.C. And by the time we got there, I, for one, had had some serious reservations about whether I should have gone along or not. But when the plane rolled up on the ramp in Washington, and it was early morning, still dark, and the first thing I saw when I looked out the plane was Bob and Vitey standing there to greet us. Well, I thought then, they look pretty good. Things can't be too bad. So we got together with them, and they took care of us, told us where we were supposed to stay. And some of us country boys hadn't been back there, so we did need some help. And then we went to see the president, and a select group of us got in, and Bob was standing where I could watch him, and of course the president was standing where I could watch him, because they had decided that I should talk to the president. I'll never know why, but I did make the pitch, and I started out kind of slow and began to get warmed up, and as I got warmed up, Bob started turning red. And I was trying to watch he and President Eisenhower, and I didn't know who was going to have the stroke first. But I was just dumb and happy and said what I had to say. And as we went out, some gentleman on the staff of the president shook hands, and he said, "Well, son, you've made your first and last trip to the White House." And he was so right. I haven't had a repeat performance. But that trip was a fruitless trip, and it was then that I realized just what a job we had handed to Bob Bartlett. I talked to a lot of men in the Congress and senators, and even though Bob was a non-voting delegate, they all knew him. He wasn't the slickest talker that ever came along, or the best dancer in Washington, but I think that he had more friends in the Congress and in the United States Senator and in the United States Senate than any man in either group. And I think that his background was responsible for it. Bob was a humble fellow. He was a kind of a Will Rogers type. I think that he believed that the dignity of the individual was what was important in government. And I believe that he was able to project this to the people he came in contact with. Certainly he was always well received. And all the doors were open. And I sometimes think we did more harm than good in going back there. We may have even gotten in Bob's hair, but if we did, he never let on. He let us think we were doing a terrific job, and that, of course, was his fort, because Bob reduced politics to a you and I proposition. If he were talking here today, every one of you would think he was talking to you individually, and that was his success. He brought it down to the you and I level, and very few people can do that. I think that Bob's work as delegate to Congress was the greatest. When we finally achieved statehood, I was back there, but you could smell victory in the air. It was a lot different from those 16 or 20 years that he'd been walking the halls of Congress. We had it made, really, I think, and we did achieve it. But when we did get our statehood, then it was inevitable that Bob Bartlett would be our United States Senator. I think we all took it for granted. And rightly so. And while Bob was in the United States Senate, just as when he was in the Congress, he made his friends, his word was good, and he represented Alaska like no one has before or since. Mike, will you pardon me? I really didn't mean that the way it might sound. So, I suppose that if Bob Bartlett had picked a chosen field and had decided to be a public relations man, he would have been the greatest. Because in the United States Senate and the United States Congress, Bob Bartlett was a public relations man. And I know that while Bob lived in Juneau, when he was Secretary of Alaska, and while he knew people from Barrow to Ketchikan, Fairbanks was his home, and this is and was Bartlett country. And I think that this living monument to Bob Bartlett couldn't happen to a nicer person. I'm reminded of a quote I saw on the cover of the Saturday Evening Post many years ago, attributed to Benjamin Franklin, in which he said, "Perhaps the only true pay that a public servant will ever receive is the satisfied conscience of a job well done." I'm sure that all of you and I agree that if this were so, Bob Bartlett would indeed have been a very rich man.
Thank you very much, John, for an excellent address. A bronze plaque has been cast honoring Senator Bartlett, and it will be placed in the foyer of this building. And we've asked Mrs. Bartlett to unveil the plaque at this time, and she'll be assisted by Mrs. Ray Reedy, Secretary of the Board of Regents and a lifelong friend of the Bartletts.
Ladies.
The inscription reads, "This building is dedicated to the memory of E.L. Bob Bartlett, 1904-1968. Secretary of Alaska, 1939-1945. Delegate to Congress, 1945-1959. United States Senator, 1959-1968. And a quote, "This is a time when you who can think must make the commitment to intelligence, honesty, and vision, and go out to lead our state and people to such fulfillment of democracy as will stand proudly before the world and before our own most critical examination." End quote, taken from the commencement address that Bob delivered here on May 20, 1960. Mrs. Bartlett has...
Dr. Wood, Board of Regents, and dear friends, new and old, I don't see how I can find any words to speak after that quotation, but I want you to know that from the bottom of my heart, I will be eternally grateful for that beautiful plaque that will go in this magnificent building. Bob was a man who lived in the future, whose life was one of imagination and dreams, and a positive desire to push for them. And he hardly ever was pushed back. He managed most things he tried. And I hope that this will serve as an inspiration to other students. After all, Bob and I were students too. Put your sights in the future. Make an agenda for the future. And please build this magnificent plant to the greatest in the world. Maybe, who knows, in another 50 years, some of you will be heading something up on the moon. Don't put your sights too low. Put them high. And I want to thank you for me and our two daughters, the honor that you have done us and inviting us here today. Bob would be so grateful to know that his name will go unforgotten because of a beautiful building like this, that it is with sentiment, deep sentiment, that I too have a gift to bring, a picture of him, the first year of statehood, which was such a great and glowing success for him. And would you accept it?
This isn't part of the program. I have no notes on this one.
We can both rip paper, though.
Really packed. You want to accept
that? I'll take this. I'm delighted. Ms. Bartlett, on behalf of the university, and particularly of the students who live in this hall and others who will come after them, I'm delighted to accept this, and we'll have it mounted in the foyer of this Bartlett Residence Hall.
Very good. Very good. Well, thank you, Ms. Bartlett, for this generous gift. And now to accept the building in behalf of the students, Ms. Catherine Clark, a resident of this hall, will make a short talk. I might add that it was Kathy's suggestion when we were looking for something to put on the plaque that we use this quotation from Bob's commencement address. Ms. Clark.
I'm representing the students of Bartlett Hall today, and especially I'd like to thank you for showing up today. When I was looking through the commencement address of Senator Bartlett's, the inscription on the plaque stopped and made me think. And that's why I think I like it personally, and I like to see it hanging in our hallway, because it will, I think, make students think. I have never met Senator Bartlett. I'm new in Alaska this year. I'm a freshman. And I'm sure that during the next 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, however long this building stands, students like myself will come into Bartlett Hall, and they, you know, they will be unfamiliar as such with the name Bartlett. But through this inscription on this plaque, maybe they'll stop and think about the name Bartlett, the name Senator Bartlett. And maybe they'll be able to see something in the picture also. I hope so, because this was what I was looking for when I was looking for an inscription. And now, I'd like to tell you a little bit about dormitory life. I think a lot of you probably have ideas. And dormitory life at the University of Alaska is very important, because there are no sororities, no fraternities. There's no football. It's a little organized sport here. There's very, very, very little for the students to do, especially when the weather is very poor. And so dormitory life is very important. We select our dorms very cautiously, haphazardly if you're a freshman like I am. Perhaps one dorm is known as a party dorm, another one is a social dorm, kids, you know, leaders type thing. If you're wondering what type of student seems to be living in Bartlett, they seem to be just that, students. An awful lot of the students here seem to be working their way partially or completely through school. A lot of graduate students are here. And most of the students seem pretty intent on getting the best education they can, and pretty damn lucky to be here at the University of Alaska getting it. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. And to conclude our dedication ceremony, I'm pleased to introduce Dr. William R. Wood, President of the University.
Dr. Wood. Mrs. Bartlett,
members of the board, friends of Senator Bob Bartlett, it's a proud moment always to accept a new facility, especially one that is to house students of this time and of future times. And I'm particularly grateful to all who've had a hand in making this simple but I think very impressive ceremony the success that it so obviously is. Particularly wish to thank those that have participated today so effectively. I think I have not heard at any ceremony we've had on this campus in the now nearly 10 years that I've been privileged to be the president, so eloquent and moving eulogy as that which John Butrovitz just gave. Sincere from the heart and most impressive. And I'm very, very pleased to have with us today some distinguished guests, Mrs. Bentley, whom you will hear tonight at the banquet. I hope you will all attend. Senator Gravel, who made a special trip from Washington. He telephoned me now less than 30 hours ago, I think, saying, I'll try to make it, and I'll be on such and such a plane if I can, and he is here. President of the State Senate, Mr. Brad Phillips, is a long, close friend of Senator Bartlett's, all the members of the Board of Regents, the architect, Mr. Ed Crittenden of Anchorage, on this building. We're pleased to have each and every one of you, as well as all of the close friends of Senator Bob Bartlett and the students who've come this afternoon to be present at these ceremonies. As structures go in Alaska, Bartlett Hall is a tall building. But when measured against the stature of the man it serves as a memorial, it is a very puny structure. Or we had, as we have heard this afternoon from John Butrovich, in Senator Bartlett, a man of extraordinary stature, a man of simple faith and beliefs, and very great accomplishments for the land which he so loved, for which really, in a true sense, he gave his life. And I want to assure Senator Butrovich that in this building there shall forever be a memorial for the Bartlett country that which he spoke. And I know from listening to the comments that were made by one freshman student today, that students who shall reside in this hall during their college years will get special inspiration from the inscription that the students selected for the bronze plaque. And I think they will get inspiration too from the portrait which will hang in the foyer of the hall. A man of great stature, and we are proud to have an opportunity in this simple way to commemorate his memory. Thank you.
Thank you, President Wood. In concluding our program, I'd like to call your attention to the invitation on the programs that the second and third floors of the building are open for visitors, and that refreshments are being served on both floors. Also, I'd like to extend an invitation to those of you who may have the time to stop in at our new library. They're holding an open house this afternoon from 3 to 5, and the staff is on hand to show people about. So if you have time, you're cordially invited to stop in and see our new library also. This concludes our program. Thank you and good afternoon. This is just